This is the prophet Ezekiel speaking. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, the sinews were on them. And flesh grew, and skin covered them. And I looked, and behold, there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. I thank you, God, that you have sent your word and it will heal us. I thank you, God, for a new beginning, a new season, a season of blessing and favor. Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that your blessing be upon Pastor Tim and Minister Crystal. Lord, that you would bless them with all blessing. Lord, that you would teach them everything they need to know, that you would guide them in the ways of righteousness, that you would bless them coming in and going out. And I thank you, God, that we will unite again at some point. Lord, I feel that in my spirit, that there will be a unity again of ministry. And I thank you, God, that that is going to transpire. Lord, in the meantime, I thank you, God, for the living word you have prepared for this body of believers. Satan, you may have tried to keep them dry. You may have tried to keep them down. You may have tried to keep them beaten and broken. But the Lord says today that revival is coming into the kingdom and into the Cornerstone Fellowship Church of God. I thank you, God, today for the revival fire of God that is being lit all throughout this church. Lord, open our ears to hear what saith the Lord. Lord, forgetting those things which are behind, we now press forward to the upward call of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, we thank you today that we're going to leave a different way in Jesus' precious and holy name. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise in his house today. Come on and give God praise in his house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know as you're seated that God is about to raise something today. And it's not just a word for this body of believers. It's not just a word that is looking to the prophetic future of this church. But we're talking about a word that can raise a dead marriage. A word that can raise a dead dream. A word that can raise a dead business. A word that can raise a dead hope or a dead family or a dead anointing. We're talking about a word today that can bring life. I see some of you grabbing your checks and stuff. You can give your tithes afterward. I thank God for that. I don't want to deny you that opportunity. But right now God said, look, let's just get into the word. Sometimes you just need the word of God. Because the word of God is what's going to set us free. The word of God is what's going to heal us. And the word of God declares, prophesy to these bones. God was telling the prophet, speak the word of God over this dead situation. the Word of God. I'm not talking about an ideology. I'm not talking about a set of moral principles. I'm not even talking about a good book. I'm talking about the eternal Word of an eternal God. I'm talking about the enduring Word of an enduring God. The victorious Word of a victorious God. And the all-powerful Word of an all-powerful God. I'm talking about the Word. Somebody give God praise. Through this Word, God calls things that are not as though they were. It is so powerful that this Word will never fade. It is so perfect that this Word will never fail. I want you to understand a biblical principle today, friends. When God wants to change something, He speaks to it. When God wants to change something, He speaks to it. In the creation, He didn't need a set of blueprints. He didn't need a building plan. He didn't need a laboratory. He didn't need hammers and nails. He didn't need shovels and cement. All He needed was His Word, because He is God all by Himself. When the winds and waves attacked the boat in which the disciples were, the carpenter from Nazareth didn't need to build a better boat that could withstand a storm. He didn't need to find a better route that was more conducive for their comfort. All He had to do is say, "Peace and be still," because the winds and the waves heard the voice that had created them and were silent. When God wants to change something, He speaks to it. In Matthew chapter 8, the centurion knew the power of God's spoken word. He desires that his servant be healed, but he says, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed." I'm here to tell you, friends, if God will only speak a word. Only speak a word and your body will be healed. If He will only speak a word, your broken heart will be mended. If He will only speak a word, your marriage will be restored. Your addiction will be broken. Your finances will be blessed. Your ministry will be anointed. If He'll only speak a word. Because when God wants to change something, He speaks to it. What are you doing sitting back there, man? Help me preach this thing. Whew. Come on, brother. Don't leave me hanging like that. He back there getting all in the Word, taking notes and stuff. I'll get you a copy of the CD. You can get it later. John chapter 11. Behind Jesus, a crowd is gathered. In front of Jesus is a tomb in which Lazarus lay dead. And standing in the gap is the man Jesus. The people had put Lazarus in a dead man's clothes. The people had put Lazarus in a dead man's tomb. The people had given Lazarus a dead man's funeral. Everybody said Lazarus' life was over. Everyone said Lazarus will never sing again. Everyone said Lazarus would never hug his children again. That he would never again rest in his home. Everyone said Lazarus had prayed his last prayer. That he wouldn't beat it this time. Everyone said Lazarus is finished. There is no hope. Jesus came too late. By now he stinks. Everyone said Lazarus was dead. But Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. He brings good things to life. With a word, He can change a dead situation. He can not only have it up and living, He can have it filled with the life and the glory of God. Can somebody praise God in the house? It's time that you stop listening to the lies of the enemy and stand and declare the Word of God over your life and over your church. Declare it today. You are the apple of His eye. You are the head and not the tail. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were chosen from your mother's womb. You were bought at a price. Your name is written in glory and your pardon has been signed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. I want you to understand something. There's a reason we're under attack. You're the one Satan fears. It's your destiny that the demons dread. You are more than a conqueror. You are a living testimony. You are a fire starter. You are a voice of prophecy and a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are salt and light. You are engrafted into the true vine. And you are coming into your season of blessing and favor. So I want you to notice something. Here is Ezekiel. He's standing over the people of God in a prophetic sense. And he sees that they've been attacked. And they seem to be out. They seem to be dead. They're no more a threat. They're not out sharing the word of God. They're not out ministering in the word of God. But notice what happened. You see, much like Ezekiel, God gave me a word today. And I'm prophesying that word. Ezekiel declared this in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And in that noise, an amazing thing happened. Listen, suddenly there was a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. My God, I'm here to tell you, friends, as we begin to prophesy, the first thing that's going to happen to those dry bones is they're going to start to unite. The first thing that happens to the body of believers is all of a sudden, as we begin to declare the word of God, as we begin to stand in the word of God, those bones will unite and stand in unity. Could you imagine that scene? Could you imagine the view from the devil's chair when he's looking down? That's a little bit... That's crazy. I feel like I'm doing one of those Bible on audio things. Man, I was waiting for James Earl Jones to bounce out and begin to preach.
And then the Lord saith.
Imagine this for a moment from Satan's perspective. He thinks he's got the people of God beat. They're down and out. They're dried up. They are done. But all of a sudden, there's a noise. It reminds me of the day of Pentecost, ain't it? When there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It was the Spirit of God showing up on the scene. There Ezekiel looks out, and I imagine the devil's looking. He goes, hey, does anybody else hear that? What is that sound? And all of a sudden, what he thought was dead, what he thought was ready to be buried, what he thought was gone, all of a sudden the bones start rattling. The bones start standing erect. And all of a sudden, all of these skeletons are standing there looking him dead in the eye, saying, we ain't dead yet. Don't count me out yet. My God ain't done with me yet. And for each one of those skeletons in the body, the right bones are placed in the right places. They are in unity. Pieces that had become separated. Pieces that had been broken. Pieces that had been strewn about were starting to join together once more. Can I tell you, a body can do nothing unless it is unified. A body can go nowhere unless it is unified. And that's what we need in the body of Christ. That's the first step to revival. God says, look, I got to get this thing in unity. I got to get these people under the word of God and unified together so we can do something that is beyond our ability. Look at your neighbor and say, unity. I'm getting ready to start a church newsletter. I'm going to mail it out to those who want a hard copy. I'll email it to those who want it via email. Interestingly, one of the first articles that I'm taking, I didn't write it, I borrowed it from somebody, but it's titled, 10 Things That Will Kill Your Church. Many of them have to do with unity. And rightly so. You know, one of the things is complaints and criticism. You know, the church has enough complainers and criticizers. We have enough moaners and groaners in the body of Christ, enough sighing and crying. I heard one pastor say that he had the whole Tater family in his church. He had dictators, hesitators, spectators, agitators, irritators, and devastators. He had them all. Can I tell you, the body of Christ doesn't need more taters. They need believers who are united in the call and the word of God and are ready to do a purpose and a promise of God in their lives. I love Psalm 133. David says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil that runs down from the head, down the beard. The beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments." Notice what he's saying. Aaron was the high priest. And his beard, he put ZZ Top to shame. His beard went from his chin to his feet. That's some crazy facial hair. Amen? But notice what the Bible is saying. The anointing of God that rested on his head, when there was unity, it went down his beard, which meant it covered the body. Jesus is the head of the church. If we'll stand in unity, the same anointing that is on Jesus, my God, the same anointing that is on Jesus will roll down and cover the body. The entire body of Christ. I don't know about you, but what was on Jesus, I want to be on me. What Jesus did, I want to be able to do. Amen. Who Jesus was, I want to be. I want to show the love Jesus showed. I want to show the compassion. I want to show the mercy. I want to walk in the signs and wonders that follow. I want to be a blessing. I want to be able to declare the word of God and see people set free. Look at your neighbor and say, it takes unity. Now you see why Satan attacks us in that way. Because without unity, you lose that anointing. My God. But we ain't done yet. Ezekiel said, I prophesied. I spoke the word of God over the bones. And they began to unify. And then he goes on to say that as the bones came together, bone to bone, indeed I looked and muscles came upon them. Once the body begins to stand in unity, as the word of God is covering that body, what you'll find is that the word will add strength to your weakened state. Oh, somebody missed the chance to say amen right there. If you've ever felt down and out, if you've ever felt tired, if you've ever felt beaten down, I want you to know when you start standing in unity with God and unity with His brethren, the next thing that's going to happen is God's going to start adding muscle there. He's going to start making that thing stronger. Amen? I'll tell you what, I might not look like much in the physical, but we walk in spiritual unity. We might not look like much. We might just be a little old podunk church in Fox Hill of Hampton, Virginia. But don't discount what your power is in God. Because if you'll stand in unity, you'll look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit. Demons will see you and flee in seven different directions. It'll be like the Three Stooges. They'll be tripping over one another trying to get out of the way. I'm here to tell you, friends, I already said in the 9 o'clock service, I'm not opposed to mega churches as long as they're organized under the biblical model of the book of Acts. But I'll tell you this, it started off with 120 believers. My God in heaven, 120 believers changed the world. Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. They were in unity, in one accord. And God added to them power. He added to them strength. Ezekiel says, I'm going to declare the word of God over that body. Now they're standing in unity. And as they stand in unity, God's going to make them stronger. God's going to build up those spiritual muscles. They start working out. And you know what? The blessing of it is, I don't even have to go to the YMCA to get this kind of strength. Thank you, Jesus. Now some of you should have said amen to that. Had a doctor ask me recently, Brother Marcus. He said, does diabetes run in your family? I said, actually, the problem is no one in my family runs. I'm talking about a spiritual strength. You know what? If I could just tell some of you muscle heads, I love you to death. But Paul said, exercise, bodily exercise profiteth little. I might not be much to look at. But honey, I got some spiritual, I'm like Popeye in the spiritual realm. I got, you know, we talked about that last week. I remember that. She was putting up her dukes back there, Sister Belor. That spirit of Popeye come on you and you say, you know what, devil? I've had all I can stands. And I can't stands no more. I'll tell you what, when a church stands in unity and God starts giving it some spiritual spinach, there ain't no devil from hell. There ain't no problem. There ain't no mountain. There ain't nothing you can't face that God cannot bring into submission. Come on and give him praise. Hallelujah. Don't ever let Satan tell you that he's got you beat. The battle ain't over till he's under. Let me say that again. The battle ain't over until he's under. I just feel led of God here to ponder on this for a moment. Some of you are feeling, you might feel in your life like there's no hope, there's no way out, there's no way you're going to beat this, there's no way you're going to come through this. The battle ain't over till he's under. You know what you need to do? You need, I'm going to give you some deep theology here. Nudge your neighbor and say, here comes deep theology. You need to tell Satan to shut his mouth. Let me say that. You need to tell Satan to shut his mouth. You have that kind of authority. Let me give you a point. Daniel gets thrown into the den of lions. And as he is plummeting into that den of lions, the Bible says the angel of the Lord shut the lion's mouth. You know what that means? The lion's mouth was open. The lion was ready to devour him. He said, oh, lunch. And he opened his mouth. He was ready to devour Daniel. But you know what God said? Hey, shut your mouth, lion. And then Daniel gets down in the lion's den. And you know what he said? He said, you know, I'm feeling a little tired. Yo, Fluffy, I need a pillow. Daniel was the first member of the Lions Club. And here's the beauty of it. You know, David talked about God will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I'll do you one better. You know what God did? God took Daniel's enemies and let him rest on them. Let him get a good night's sleep. The king was up all night worrying. Daniel was laid on the thing that would have destroyed him, saying, hey, quit moving so much. I'm trying to get a nap here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about spiritual strength. Where you don't have to worry what the doctor says. Where you don't have to worry about what the court's going to say. Where you don't have to worry about what the counselor's going to say. And you don't have to worry about what the bank is going to say. And you don't have to worry about what your 12-step program is going to say. And you don't have to worry about any of those things, because you know that if God be for me, then who can be against me? And greater is he in me than he who is in the world. Come on and give him praise. Somebody eating some of that spiritual spinach right now. Getting them Popeye arms going. You ought to walk out of church like that. You ought to walk out all barrel-chested. You ever seen the young guys that do that? You ever seen that, Jack? They walk around. We ought to walk like that when we walk out of church. Pick a fight with the devil. Tell him you need a sparring partner. I don't know. I'm just rambling now. You understand what I'm saying though, right, buddy? You ain't got nothing to worry about with yours. Because God's got it covered, doesn't he? Amen. Amen. God's got you covered. Amen. He's giving you strength. God's got you covered. Amen. He's giving you strength, right? He's got every situation covered. Is there anything that is too great for God? Is his arm too short in any circumstance? My God. Somebody say unity. Somebody say strength. When the word of God is prophesied over the bones, the first thing that happens is the body stands in unity. The next thing, God starts adding strength. As I said, we see it in the book of Acts. They heard a sound. They're in one accord. And God gives them the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something else God's going to do. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the muscles and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. I want you to know that God will not only unify us, he will not only strengthen us, he's going to cover us. And I'm not talking about this little mangy creation that's called flesh. I'm talking about covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm talking about covered by the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. I'm talking about covered by the Lamb of God. My God in heaven. Let me tell you about the covering of God. Let me tell you what David said about it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He has delivered you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. But because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over you, and they, His angels, will keep you in all your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash a foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion. You will tread upon the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name, saith the Lord. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. My God. I'm talking about a covering today. Look at your neighbor and tell him God's got you covered. Hear what I'm saying here. If we will heed the word of God and stand in unity, God will not only strengthen us, He will cover us, which means He's standing between us and the enemy. Whew. My God. That was a good place for that. I had to add that in. Pastor Willie was getting a God moment there, so I just wanted to help him out. If I get in the throne zone, brother, I'm going to throw this to you and you preach the rest of the message. We'll help each other out. My God. We fight our battles so often, but the battle is the Lord's. Here's what He says. Hear the word of God today. Stand in unity on the word of God. I will strengthen you. And I will cover you. I will stand between you and the enemy that is trying to destroy your family, your church, your sobriety, your health. My God. What an awesome God we serve. Whew. He's better than any insurance policy that you can ever imagine. Look at your neighbor and say, get a piece of the rock. And I'm not talking about Allstate. I don't even know if that is Allstate. Maybe it's Prudential. I don't know. I'm talking about Jesus, the rock of our salvation. My God. I'm getting ready to wrap this up, but I got to share one more important thing. God is bringing change to a dead situation. He's bringing change to a dying situation in your lives, in your families, in your workplaces, in your church. And the Word of God demands the body to stand in unity. And when the body stands in unity, God will add strength to a weakened state. And when God begins to add strength, He will cover us with His glory. But one more thing is needed. Whew. Ezekiel said, "Indeed, as I looked, the muscles and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. And God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." When God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, Adam had all the attributes of a man. He had the form of a man. He had the features of a man. He had the internal organs of a man. But that body was not brought to life until the breath of God entered in. Whew. The breath of God. In the Hebrew, that word is ruach. The breath of God is synonymous with the Spirit of God. The same word is used in the Old Testament. The breath of God. When God breathed into Adam, He wasn't just giving him CPR. He inserted into Adam the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Ruach. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. Hear me when I say this. The church can have all the attributes of the body of Christ. It can have the form of the body of Christ. It can have the features of the body of Christ. It can have all the internal and external parts it needs. But until God breathes His Spirit into the body, there will be no true spiritual life. So He prophesied to the bones. He said, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as He commanded me, Ezekiel said, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And so they stood on their feet. Father God, I ask. Lord, You know everything that has happened here. And Lord, I thank You that all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Forgetting those things which are behind, Lord, we press forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And now we ask God, I have obeyed Your word. I have prophesied. I have declared Your word over Your people. Unite us, God. Unite this body. Give us strength, Lord. There are many who are weary. Weary in spirit. Weary in emotion. Weary physically. And Lord, while this word is true for people who are dealing with things in their personal lives, I pray on behalf of the body of Christ to be the church You have called us to be. God, add to us strength. Cover us, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Cover us, God, with Your feathers. But Lord, don't stop there. From the four winds, I ask, Holy Spirit, breathe upon us once more. Fill us as a body of believers. Fill this house once more with the glory of God like we have not experienced in many years in the body of Christ. Breathe into us once more the breath of life, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Church, if that is your prayer, I'm going to ask you to do this. The Bible says, and they stood on their feet. I'm going to ask you to stand if this is your prayer. And I'm going to ask you to just, we're going to turn this whole sanctuary into an altar call. And I'm going to ask you to begin to pray. Now, I know some of you got to pray for situations in your family. You're looking at a situation that looks dead, but you're saying, oh Lord, I hear Your word and I'm declaring Your word over it. And I add to that my blessing. But for the rest of us, I want you to pray for this church, for this congregation, for the call of God that is upon this body of believers. That God's perfect will be done. Father, we thank You, Lord. God, I thank You, Father, for the purpose and the promise that You have. That is in this house. Lord, I thank You for each one that is lifting up to You now. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would hear. Lord, hear. Lord, hear. Father, heal, we pray. God, heal. Lord, as You bring that body back together, Lord, I know that as those bones laid there, some were broken, some were injured, some were hurt, some had been discarded. But God, You brought them all back together, and that means You had to heal them to get them back to their full form and function. Heal in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that You would heal broken hearts. that you would heal hurts. Whether it's been here at this house or at another church, whatever has happened, wherever it has happened, Lord, forgetting those things which are behind, we're pressing forward. Lord, heal us so we can move forward in the purpose and the power of God. Help us to stand in unity, Lord, in one accord, walking in the love and the mercy and the compassion of God. Not led astray to the left or to the right. Lord, in Jesus' name, we bind every spirit of division, every spirit of offense that would try to arise in this church. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. We take the authority given to us from God the Father and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cast you out in Jesus' name. Not in our name, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, Father, as this shepherd, I loose upon this body a spirit of unity, the mercy and the compassion of God. Lord, let the love of God reach a new level among these brethren. Lord, may we, as Simon did for Jesus, Lord, even you needed help carrying your cross. Let us help bear one another's burdens. Father, I pray that as we unite together, I thank you for these men and women of God. Lord, I believe there are people who are here today because you have called them for this purpose. You have called them to help the healing. You have called them here to help with the rebuilding. You have called them here to help fulfill the purpose of God. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, let your will be done today. I want to speak to somebody. As I'm going to ask Pastor Willie to just be led of God as we sing a song unto the Lord. But I just feel led of God that there are some folks that you say, I just want to seek God. I need, Lord, help me, heal me, unify me. You might feel led to say, God, I just want to cry out for my church. I want to cry out for my family. And you know that this altar is a sacred meeting place with God. I want you to know, even though we're going to sing a song, this altar's open. If you want to come and just kneel before God and ask Him, Lord, what can I do? What would you have me do? This altar is open for you. Go ahead, Pastor Willie.